upon us that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete and may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. moments quiet before I pray. Heavenly Father, may my words be your words, and may all our hearts be open to receive them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We probably pride ourselves, always a dangerous thing to do, I know, these days, with the advent of advanced technology, that we're really keeping very connected with people and all that's happening in the world and everything else. Everything in our pocket, at the press of a finger or thumb. And I know some people were keeping on top of the cricket score before we just started this service, but we won't go down that route just at the moment. We think we're keeping in touch, but actually, are we? There's a great deal of emphasis these days on speed, and everyone's saying, how quick is my broadband, or how fast can I do something? And some of those telephone numbers, when you ring them, get this slightly irritating automated voice that says, please hold the line while I'm trying to connect you. The person you're calling knows you are waiting. And you think, really? Do they? And the one that really tries my limited patience, and my patience is limited, is the organizations that play some aggravating music and then keep advising that your call is important to them. And you think, well, if it is, why don't they flipping well answer it? But of course, technology isn't all bad, and it can literally be a lifesaver and a good means of keeping in touch. Although sometimes I do question the sort of robustness of those sort of connections. They reduce the amount of face-to-face contact. Even in an office, people email each other across the room. And it can result in misunderstanding and hurt in the way that messages are conveyed. Interestingly, the Church of England recently issued some guidance for those who connect with Church House and with the Archbishop's offices in a social media sense. And among other things, they say, they ask people expressing an opinion to express it with kindness. And our gospel reading this evening from John chapter 15 has many important messages, but one of them, I think, is the encouragement to remain connected. So with that in mind, I'm going to be looking mainly at the first 8 verses, so page 1083 in the Church Bibles, if you want to focus on the text. We can't be exactly sure where Jesus was when he delivered this narrative. Maybe he was actually walking past a vine at the time. But whatever, the vine is a good analogy. It was grown throughout the region, and it required a lot of attention to provide good fruit. But when in good soil, it would grow abundantly. And then it needed pruning to keep it fruitful. And apparently the wood of the vine is actually good for nothing and wasn't even taken into the temple. It was only fit for a bonfire. But analogies are only helpful if they're appropriate to the situation. And the analogy of the vine and the branches would have been very appropriate to the people there. And we understand it too because we know about vines. But you do wonder about someone like, say, the Eskimos who might not have many vines to actually see, or perhaps in this day and age, they Google that as well. But in the Old Testament, the vine was often a symbol for the people of Israel. As we heard read from Psalm 80, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root, and it filled the land. In expectation of a fruitful harvest, God prepared the land, planted the seed of the people of Israel, and he cared for them. But despite all this, God's people turned away from him. So the image of Israel being a good vine and a fruitful vine rather became an image of a bad and unproductive plant. Connection terminated. No signal, as our communications these days say. But the true vine is Jesus. And the main difference between the Old Testament imagery with Israel as the vine and the New Testament analogy is that Jesus is the true vine. He describes himself as that. And God is the gardener. And the development of that vine symbolism from the Old Testament through to the New Testament can in many ways perhaps be described as the unfolding of God's redemptive plan through Scripture, Jesus becomes the vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branches are Jesus' disciples, and that is you and me. And there are two types of branches, those that bear fruit and those that don't bear fruit. Both are pruned, the former to strengthen them so they'll be more fruitful, and the latter so that they will be thrown away on the bonfire, the judgment on unfaithful Israel that we've just noted. Verse 6 here is salutary. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And those branches probably don't represent true believers. They're the bad wood that's not good for anything, fit only for the fire. And God judges the unfruitful vine. The prophet Isaiah describes it as a removal of a hedge round Israel and the trampling and death of the vine. Throughout Scripture, the vineyard is used as a symbol of God's judgment. People planting vineyards and then, for whatever reason, not being able to reap the fruits of what they've planted. That's so sad, isn't it? How can we ensure that we are fruitful branches and not the fruitless ones on their way to destruction? There are at least three actions, or should I say non-actions, that result in us becoming useless branches. First, by refusing to listen to Jesus in the first place. Second, by listening to him and then only giving lip service to what we hear. And thirdly, by accepting him as master and then abandoning that allegiance as soon as we hit challenges or difficult times. So we need to avoid all those. And the key lies in the word which features eight times in those first eight verses, remain, or in some versions of the Bible, abide. We don't perhaps use remain quite in that sense. I tend to think of it as like being asked to remain behind after a meeting, or something that remains after everything else has gone. But here, the word remain is more about connectiveness and dependence. The purpose of the vine is to bear fruit, hence the emphasis on branches. The vine needs its branches in order to bear fruit. And the branches certainly can't bear fruit if they're disconnected from the vine. So it is important that they remain connected to receive that nourishment that they need. As Jesus said, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, verse 4. So it is with us. If we try and go it alone, we will wither and be useless. To remain in the vine is also telling us that we should be part of a Christian community which prays and worships together. That's an important part of being a disciple. And some will argue strongly that there's no such thing as a solitary Christian, but that's for another good debate, I'm sure. But as Christians, we're meant to be in fellowship with one another, as we're doing tonight and as we were doing at Longmead today, to build up the body of Christ and to encourage each other. Remaining connected in community is very important, but remaining in Jesus, being linked to him, is also an individual experience in which we seek to walk with him. As a result, we will live more fruitful lives. That connectedness of the branch, that is the believer's connection to the true vine, shows that there's just one reason for the existence of those branches, and that is to bear fruit. That's why we've been planted by God. That's why we're here. The branch is really like the vine in nearly every respect, except for the important difference that one is the source of strength, and the other needs that strength. But we're all made in the image of God, aren't we? There's also that important lesson of absolute dependence. The branches have nothing but what the vine gives them, and they cannot bear fruit alone. And recognising and accepting dependence is not something we're always very good at, either spiritually or physically. We like to think we're independent. But that connectedness can also give us confidence. Confidence to do things and to witness that we really didn't think we could ever do. And that's the vine giving it us. It gives us that strength. That doesn't mean we have an easy life, but it will mean a blessed one. So how do we remain in Jesus? By spending more time with him, getting to know him better, and growing more like him. As one writer puts it, come away from all else and set your heart on Jesus, and his love, that love, will awaken your faith and strengthen it. We can see through friendships, can't we, that connections are important. We need to stay connected to those things that are a good influence. How often do we say or hear said, oh, he or she got in with a bad crowd. They were led astray. The secret of Jesus' life was his contact with God. He would go to a solitary place to meet with him. And the secret of our lives should be our contact with Jesus. Just a few verses from a poem called Only a Branch by Frieda Hanbury, I think, exemplifies this point. Oh, struggle not to abide, nor labour to bring forth fruit, but let Jesus unite thee to himself as the vine branch to the root. So simple, so deep, so strong, that union with him shall be. His life shall ever replace thine own, and his love shall flow through thee. For his spirit's fruit is love, and love shall thy life become, and forevermore on his heart of love thy spirit shall have her home. So the message is clear. Remain. Stay connected with Jesus. It's a connection we can rely on. God will always be there for us. And we don't need to understand modern technology to make and keep that connection. God the gardener cared for the vine, and he will care for the branches too. We can see through that analogy of the vine how important it is for us to remain in Jesus. We should organise our prayer, our worship, and indeed all our lives to ensure that we don't lose that contact. Good disciples enrich their own lives and become fruitful branches by remaining connected with Jesus, and they bring glory to God through that. God is glorified in the work of Jesus, and Jesus is glorified in the fruit bearing of his disciples. In Jesus' words, verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So a short pause for reflection before I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, so may we remain and grow in him that we may bear fruit and be true disciples to the glory of your name. This we ask in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.